KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has been placed under house arrest by the military in the capital of Harare. The military also seized control of the country's state broadcaster and international airport, but the army denies it is a coup. We'll get the latest. Then at 9:30, San Francisco is struggling over how to regulate the recreational pot shops that will crop up in January. We'll talk with two city supervisors about the issue. It's all coming up next. After this. Welcome to this morning's Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny. Zimbabwe's military placed its president, Robert Mugabe, under house arrest, took over state TV, and filled the streets of the capital with military tanks. While it bears all the signs of a coup, the military has specifically avoided calling it a coup. And a military leader said Mugabe is safe, but he has not been seen publicly. Some experts say the military may be trying to replace the 93-year-old Mugabe with its own choice, his fired deputy, Emmerson Mnangagwa. Joining us now with the latest on the takeover is Andrew Meldrum. He's assistant Africa editor for the Associated Press, and he's joining us from Johannesburg. And Andrew Meldrum, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks so much.
I guess the place to begin here is you've got 97-year-old Robert Mugabe, as I said, under house arrest. This is the last of the anti-colonial dictators. The broadcast facilities, not only television but radio, have been taken over. The airport's been taken over, but they're not calling it a coup. Help us understand why they're not calling it a coup.
Right. Well, because it doesn't suit them to call it a coup. If it's a military coup, Zimbabwe would be under sanctions from the African Union. Zimbabwe would also probably lose quite a bit of foreign aid that they are getting now from any Western donors or others. And so they realize that if it's classified as a military coup, it will be hard to get out of that category. I think on another point, there is still a lingering respect for Robert Mugabe, who is 93, and as you said, really the last of Africa's great anti-colonialist, leaders. And I think there may be enough lingering respect that they don't want to do him in. They want to make it appear to be a transition, a negotiated exit that will save face for Robert Mugabe. Remember, this coup has been carried out by the very Zimbabwean generals who fought with him in the liberation war against white minority ruled Rhodesia way back in the 1970s.
Yeah, there is indeed a good deal of history there that they share. I'm just wondering, though, when you say that they respect him enough that they don't want to do away with him or they want to keep him safe, and you did call it a coup, it's almost natural to do that. Emmerson Mnangagwa, the vice president, who's called the crocodile, has been in a kind of, I guess what we can describe as major rivalry to succeed him with Grace Mugabe, his wife. And that seems to be really what's brewing here behind the scenes, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it was the rivalry between Emmerson Mnangagwa and Grace Mugabe that led to this. And it was the action taken last week by Robert Mugabe when he fired Mnangagwa as his vice president, that really set in motion all of this. Because Grace Mugabe is not wildly popular in Zimbabwe. She's known for her lavish spending, the mansion she's built in different parts of the country, the fancy designer clothes she wears. Last month there was a court case where she actually sued a Lebanese diamond dealer, saying he failed to deliver on her order of 100-carat diamond. That doesn't sit well with a country that the majority of the people are really scraping by. The second thing is that Grace Mugabe is just 52 years old, and she surrounded herself with a group called the G40, cabinet ministers and other people who were in their 40s and 50s, and therefore they were too young to actually be in the liberation war against Rhodesia. And so when she then, when Robert Mugabe then got rid of Emmerson Mnangagwa, who had fought in the war, and they, it looked like they were also going to get rid of other, war era cabinet ministers and other leaders, that's when the generals said, no, we are not going to be sidelined by these young up-and-coming leaders who never fought in the trenches. We are going to stay in power.
We're talking,
so that is what set in motion what happened.
Excuse me, we're talking with Andrew Meldrum, who is Assistant Africa Editor for Associated Press. We're also joined by Horace Campbell, who is Kwame Nkrumah Chair of the Institute of African Studies at the University of Ghana. He's on leave from Syracuse University. He's also the author of Reclaiming Zimbabwe. And we welcome you to the program, Horace Campbell. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I also want to welcome BBC diplomatic correspondent James Robbins, who also joins us for this discussion. James Robbins, welcome to the program. Good to have you aboard.
It's very good to be with you.
Let me actually get to you on a couple of things, James Robbins, before we bring in Professor Campbell. We're talking about an opposition right now, the former vice president, because he has been removed, who has been essentially speaking about moving in different directions in terms of economics, bringing back white farmers, in fact, or patching up relations between the World Bank and the IMF in Zimbabwe. And we've also heard from the opposition movement for democratic change calling for peaceful return to constitutional democracy. How likely are we to see these kinds of movements or transitions as opposed to essentially what really constitutes a military coup and unpredictability in that?
What you've outlined as the hopes for the future of Zimbabwe, I think, are shared by millions of Zimbabweans who've been saying on the streets of Harare today that they are delighted at this turn of events, that they wanted to see the end of Robert Mugabe after almost four decades in power, and they were glad, they thought this was being sorted out at the top and not by violence against them on the streets. They've suffered plenty of violence over the past 37 years or so. But as to the future, I think that's highly unpredictable. I mean, we should be very clear that this is, I think, at this stage, quite a limited military coup. And if we believe the generals, they are there to try to ensure that Robert Mugabe doesn't simply install his wife Grace as his successor, that there is a proper process. But the generals are not saying that that process has to be outside the ruling party, ZANU-PF. They're not necessarily opening the way to multi-party democracy, much as many Zimbabweans might want that. So this could be quite a limited process. And I think the idea that we're on the verge of a complete reform of Zimbabwe's political and economic structures and a return to what some see as the glory days of white commercial farming, delivering not just food to Zimbabwe, but also to much of Southern Africa. I think that's a step further than we've got so far.
Well, and we also have the ongoing economic crisis in Zimbabwe. And Horace Campbell, if I could bring you into this, I guess that it's been reported that there was a conversation between earlier, today or yesterday, between President Zuma of South Africa and President Mugabe. What do we know about that?
Well, the report on the media, especially main international media, said that President Zuma spoke to President Mugabe and he said he was well. We can take that for what it said. We are not sure because that same report also said that Grace Mugabe has now gone to Namibia. But I want to differ with your two speakers because what they've done is to exclude the people who were responsible for bringing this thing to a head. That is the ordinary Zimbabwean who wanted a better condition of life. And what we have seen is that the military has intervened to take away from the people what they have been struggling for the past 20 years. This is the same military that looted in the Congo, This is the same military that looted $15 billion worth of diamonds from the eastern part of the Congo. And it's the same military that has gotten most of the farms, where land should have been given to the farm workers. So what we who are involved in redemption Africa are saying that the military should step aside so that there's a transitional authority, so that the conditions could be set in motion for democratic participation.
Forgive me, Professor Campbell. It's fascinating to hear you speak about the military the way you are, because they are claiming, I mean, and they have gone on national TV to say that they are detaining, they're detaining, for example, the finance minister and others because of corruption and criminal activity.
Yes, if they are doing that, then they themselves should be self-critical about the role they played in the Congo and about the land that they seized and about the diamonds that they seized. 2 years ago, Mugabe accused them of stealing $15 billion. So one does not want them to replace Mugabe. One wants an interim process of democratization where the voters' role and the conditions could create a level playing field so all sections of the population could be involved in politics in Zimbabwe.
All right, if I may, I want to invite our listeners to get involved in this discussion. We only have a half hour for this segment, and we're getting the latest news on Zimbabwe and army takeover. We do want to hear your thoughts and any questions or comments you might have. We have three Zimbabwe experts on the line here, and we'll get you on the line as well. You can join us at our toll-free number right now. The number to call is 866-733-6786. That's toll-free from wherever you're listening or however, radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. The number again to call, 866-733-6786. Also, you can join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org. We do welcome your questions or comments about the ongoing struggle in Zimbabwe and thoughts that you might have. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website and post questions or comments there, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Andrew Meldrum with us, assistant Africa editor with the Associated Press, who has worked in Zimbabwe for over 20 years, and Horace Campbell, Kwame Nkrumah chair of the Institute of African Studies at the University of Ghana, author of Reclaiming Zimbabwe. And we also have BBC diplomatic correspondent James Robbins. And we do indeed want to hear from you. Any thoughts you might have about this, as I said, ongoing crisis? And at this point, there's much that's unpredictable. But it's fair to say, if I can go back to you for a moment, Andrew Meldrum, that at this point, the supporters, the longtime supporters of Robert Mugabe are not necessarily behind him?
Yes. I mean, I think that is true. Also, I'd like to say, you know, what Professor Campbell said, I think is an important point, because as I described the way I see what has happened, the generals and the military acted against Grace Mugabe and some up and coming, some younger cabinet ministers and officials. And the reason they did that is because they said they fought to liberate Zimbabwe, and they want to continue. They believe they have the right to continue ruling as they are. In other words, they want to continue business as usual. Okay. The diamond mines, the contracts in Congo and elsewhere, the farms that they have. You know, they don't want to lose what they feel are the spoils that they won.
Okay, let me bring our callers in. Let me get a caller from Minnesota first here. Kanasha, welcome. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a Zimbabwe national, and I was just in Zimbabwe, and I guess I just wanted to contribute that even though this is not a democratic process, and a lot of the our experts have pointed out that the army and even the vice president is not necessarily who we would have wanted to see in power, but in a sense, a lot of Zimbabweans are still just excited about the prospect of a change. So even though we realize it's not a democratic process and there's still a lot of concerns, the ordinary Zimbabwe on the streets is just excited for the fact that it's 40 years of the end of rule from a dictatorship, and we remain hopeful despite all of the potential concerns that might still happen because it is, in effect, a coup.
Let me thank you for that call and go to Horace Campbell on that. Professor Campbell, you think the average citizen in Zimbabwe really is glad that this man who is viewed in the West as a despot but in his own country as a guerrilla liberation fighter may indeed be deposed here?
Well, I think I can mention four sections of the population that are happy. The main section of the population is the working people who have been suffering from hyperinflation, the women who have been brutalized, the young people, and people who are gays and lesbians, because this is a man who called gays and lesbians dogs and pigs. So there are many sections of the population. There are others, however, who have benefited from this kind of rule, and they want either the generals or Mugabe. Four progressive thinkers. One wants a situation in Zimbabwe where it is stabilized, where women, youth, workers, same-sex persons, and all the people of Zimbabwe have the right to participate in the democratic process.
And it's also fair, I think, to say, James Robbins, that the military does not want succession by Grace Mugabe. And that is definitely something they are opposed to, and that is, in fact, probably the catalyst behind this to a great degree.
I think it's true that the military don't want a succession that is dictated by a narrow faction within the RPF, the ruling party, the party of Robert Mugabe. They don't want a succession dictated by Mugabe himself. They don't want a Mugabe dynasty. But I agree with much of what my colleagues have said. I think there's extraordinary consensus between us. And I think it's not the case that Zimbabweans either see Robert Mugabe as a despot or as a liberation fighter on the other hand. I think many of them see him as both. They accept that he was the man who led ZANU-PF through a very, very difficult guerrilla war fought from outside the country, which was then Rhodesia, to liberate it from white minority rule, as it happens under an illegal regime led by a man, Ian Smith, who defied the British government back in the 1970s and tried to maintain majority rule at the time of decolonisation. So I think it's absolutely right to see Robert Mugabe as a major figure of African liberation. That's how he's regarded on the continent. But I think it's also right to accept that, partly perhaps as a result of his training by Jesuits and Marxists, he lost the plot during his period in power, and he didn't see that there was any possibility of him ever retiring from office, and that that's not something that a liberation fighter needs to do. Once they've taken power by force, they can hold it forever, and that's been at an enormous cost to Zimbabwe's citizens.
All right, I want to read a comment from a listener who says, this is Mark who writes, I went to Zimbabwe in 1989 at the tail end of the 10-year power-sharing agreement. The country was limping along, but it did function, was reasonably safe, and I had a good experience with the tourism industry and transcription. Mugabe stayed about 30 years too long. They needed a Mandela, not a Mugabe. And let me go to more of your calls here. Let's get Rod on next. Rod, join us. You're on the air.
Hi, I was born in Harare, left ages ago. I have a question about the role of major countries in these events. As America steps back and as China invests in Africa, what is the Chinese or American role in governing these events and shaping them?
Can I go to you on this, Professor Horace Campbell?
Yes, I think this the Chinese have been a major investor in the minerals, but this is a homegrown conflict with different sections of those who have been ruling and plundering Zimbabwe. I think that the millions of Zimbabwe who have suffered the hyperinflation, they will not look to an external power in this case, China or the United States. This is something of the kind of exploitation that is coming from people who fought a guerrilla war but got rich in the past 20 years. This is the conflict between them.
And Andrew Meldrum, the ongoing battle seems to be on the surface political, but what we keep hearing from Professor Campbell is this is an economic battle and maybe, as you've pointed out, a generational battle, perhaps even more than it's political.
Well, politics combines a lot of things. And yes, I think it is a generational. I think it is experience. The generals objected to people that fought or taken part or participated in the war to end white minority ruled Rhodesia. And you have to realize that this has so strongly forged their sense of identity and in many ways Zimbabwe's national identity that they just think that people who are coming up that have no credentials in the war of having fought in the war should not be there. But part of it is they don't want to share the spoils and the spoils of war. And I do believe that, Robert Mugabe and his wife and the generals and all of those at the top, it has been a system of kleptocracy of what had once been a prosperous country and is now a country that where the majority of people are living, very, very poorly. In the 1980s, people's lives, once Zimbabwe got majority rule, people's lives improved in front of my very eyes. And then after the year 2000, Zimbabwe has declined terribly. The mortality rates that had improved so much got much worse. Education rates dropped. Hard-won victories in terms of people's lives got much worse.
Let me go back, if I may, Horace Campbell, to you with a question from a listener named Jim, which may be a question on many people's minds. He asks, and he says, in all sincerity, why should I, as an American citizen, care about any of this? Really, it's not like another democracy is falling.
Well, American citizens should care about this because wherever there's injustice, it helps to fuel injustice elsewhere. And what the Zimbabwean people are fighting for, the women, the youth, the working people, gay and lesbian, and farm workers, is what people are fighting for everywhere. Decent standards of life, health care, water, housing, clean environment. Those are things that the military are not discussing, and the media is not discussing. They are discussing the Mnangagwa and Mugabe. But after Mugabe goes and Mnangagwa comes, the conditions of the working people are going to be there. So someone in the United States, whatever their condition, they should be thinking of how injustice in one part of the world helps those who support injustice in other parts of the world.
And I should add that the Zimbabwe media has been slow to cover this takeover. Call it a takeover, call it a coup, whatever you will. And a comment from Gerald who says, being a freedom fighter is no guarantee to being decent in power. They're different skills. Well, we will continue to follow the story in Zimbabwe as President Mugabe is under house arrest after a military takeover, and the military has placed him under house arrest, and not only that, but taken over state TV and filled the streets of the capital with military tanks. Thank you to Andrew Meldrum, who joined us from Johannesburg, assistant Africa editor for the Associated Press, who has worked in Zimbabwe for 20 years. Good to have you with us, Andrew Meldrum. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And thank you, Horace Campbell, and Kwame Nkrumah, chair of the Institute of African Studies at the University of Ghana, on leave from Syracuse, and appreciate your being with us. Thank you for being with us. And thank you to BBC diplomatic correspondent James Robbins, who also joined us for this segment. Another segment ahead, and we're going to get local in that segment. We're going to talk about what to do about pot stores. And, pot's going to be legal, and it's going to be legal as a recreational drug to be sold here in San Francisco. And this is a question that really radiates throughout the country. When you legalize it, what do you do about daycare centers? What do you do about schools that are within feet? How many feet? Stay tuned for that. It's up ahead.